Good morning, Source family. It's good to see y'all again. And I'm glad it's a little bit cooler in here than when I was with y'all last time, right? Still recovering from the hurricane. Pastor Ken is out with some friends, some good Sabbath fellowship. Even Jesus did that. It's good for us to have those rhythms, just to be away and be with some friends and get refilled and refueled. I'm Pastor Amanda. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at this church, and often I'm downtown and I don't get to hang out with y'all. So it's always a blessing to be here at Source. So we're continuing in this series of looking at the Apostles' Creed, which kind of feels a little awkward because we don't always do creeds and that kind of stuff in a modern service. But it's a great framework to help us understand what it is that we believe and how that informs. And it gives us a framework of how we structure our lives and how we're supposed to live into our beliefs. So y'all have been doing it in the traditional services. We do the whole creed every week with the exception of communion. And often it can become a thing of memory and we just plow through it. But when we break it down week to week, we really can dive in and look at one verse or another. Some people will say, well, don't you know the creed? You're a pastor. And I'm like, because I'll often look at my notes when I'm saying it to be more intentional. It's a little bit different when you're leading people as well. I had to learn it in confirmation. Before we were confirmed, we had to be able to recite what the Old Testament books were, the New Testament, and the Apostles' Creed. I was grateful that my home church, you didn't have to do that as a seventh grader in front of the whole church, but you did have to know the creed. And so it was important. So then today we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to invite you to join with me in saying the Apostles' Creed up to that point. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He is ascended to the dead. On the third day, he arose again. He ascended into heaven and sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Wow. So if you took everything above, I believe the Holy Spirit, and you just stopped there, there's some good nuggets. There's some good things that we can lean into, and we know how we're expected to live. Can you imagine, though, if we just left it, he ascended to heaven and sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Some of the other ones will say to judge the quick and the dead. So can you imagine that's just where we left it? That Jesus has come, he lives, he ascends, and he's just sitting there at the right hand of God, judging the living and the dead. It's kind of heavy. And you're like, okay, so this is all we have? Because we really have quite a bit throughout the Old Testament, throughout the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus gave us all the stuff that we needed. He told us how to live. He told us that the most important thing was to love our neighbor. In the Gospel of John, he says to love more than 60 times. And that is how we're to live our life, to love our neighbors as ourselves, following in Jesus' footsteps. So is that enough? Is that just enough to say, okay, you got it. I'm going to go hang out up here and then we'll meet again at some point. It kind of reminds me when a mom leaves, or I should say a parent leaves the house, and they might leave a little list of things. Now remember, these are the things about our house. And here's what's expected of you when I'm not here. I gotta hope that you're gonna take care of a few things. You're gonna remember who and whose you are, which often is a little tidbit of, don't go out acting like a fool and embarrassing who we are in our family name. Stay in line. And when I get back, I hope to enjoy what you've experienced and the fruit of that. We could just stop there. Except that our God is not a distant God. God didn't create the world and then send Jesus and then say, okay, I'm going to sit back and see how it goes. Instead, Jesus and God and then the Holy Spirit, three in one, are very intimate. They want to be in that relationship with each of us. We see that from the very beginning of creation. God walked through the gardens wanting to have that intimate relationship with us. And so we find that we have this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus has been teaching, he's been telling the disciples, this is going to happen, and you're going to have this Holy Spirit. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. But he goes into a very long goodbye. I call it a southern goodbye. Midway through the Gospel of John, chapter 14 through 17, before everything hits the fan, before they really get tested, before they really see Jesus persecuted and spit on and all kinds of stuff, and then death on the cross, and then the lowest of lows in the tomb, and they think it's all done. And then before he's resurrected, before all that happens, Jesus gives a very, very long goodbye. I say it's a southern goodbye. Maybe you have this at your house, but especially at my parents' house. When we leave, we start saying goodbye in the kitchen and in the living room. Then it goes to the porch. Then it goes out to the driveway. Often my mom expects the windows are rolled down. The goodbyes and the conversations happen all the way as we're pulling out of the driveway, right, Eden? It is a very long goodbye. That's what we see with Jesus. Chapters 14, 15, 16, 17, he's telling them goodbye. He's trying to prepare them. And goodbyes are hard. Sometimes we have that opportunity with a loved one. In their last days, we get that opportunity to have those long goodbyes. But we also know those temporary times. I know that full well. I just dropped my daughter, my baby girl, off at Oklahoma this week for starting college. And we know we're going to see each other, but it's like, is she ready to fly from the nest? Kind of temper back how much I expect on response and text messages and phone calls. We know that we're going to see him again, but it's hard to let go. It's hard to remember, do I know everything? Do I have everything? And Jesus reminds the disciples and said, I am not going to leave you orphaned. I have an incredible gift for you. So today we're going to look at the Gospel of John, just a quick snapshot. It might be like Snapchat, just a quick picture of these three chapters of what is being said. And then we'll go into it a little bit more of what this looks like for the Holy Spirit. So let's look at chapter 14. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. A little bit further on, he says, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we see, it's a very long goodbye. He's had very long ways of saying, I'm going to have an advocate. You're going to be there, and I'm not going to leave you. All of this is before the big Easter story, that he gives them this message. So let's look at, what does it mean for the Holy Spirit? So often, we try to narrow it down and make it so simple that we miss out on the best parts. And so often we just say, oh, it's a comfort. It's a comforter, like a snuggy blanket. There's so much more to it. Pastor Lance shared in the first service, so the mentor of his, so the Greek word is parakeet or paraclete. It kind of depends on which translation you're looking at from the Greek word. And it is so much more robust than how we could potentially put it in the English language. And Pastor Lance said his mentor, when he preached on this at one point, said paraclete or paracletes. Think of cleats on your feet. That the Holy Spirit is like the coach that will guide you, that will go with you, the coach you and encourage you, but also the one that runs with you. So before you get caught up in, what was that Greek word that we're talking about? Think of paracletes. Because it's so much more robust than a snuggle blanket. Because the Holy Spirit, as we read through these scriptures, is our advocate, our counselor, and our helper. The Holy Spirit is so much more than something that just makes us feel good on a bad day. The Holy Spirit is the one that advocates for us. When we have fallen short, when we are struggling, and we're like, well, I don't know which way I'm going and which way God's calling me, the Holy Spirit is our advocate that continues to call us and woo us and say, this is the direction that God is calling you. He gives us those lanes to help us stay in there. It's also the counselor. Sometimes we don't always have those words in our prayers. And let me tell you, I've thrown up a lot of prayers the last couple of weeks with one going into college and one going into high school. There are times I'm like, God, I really don't know what to pray for. There's just a lot. And it's amazing that that's what God can do. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, not only are you feeling that comfort, but we're counseled on the words to then use, the words to walk with the loved ones, with our friends. Maybe it's someone that you run into the street and you're bold enough to say, I see this person's in trouble. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. But the Holy Spirit is at work in and through us and guides us through. And we all of a sudden just have the right words and the right things to help that person. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, the counselor working in and through us. Much like the helper. But the Holy Spirit is also a teacher. And reminds us and abides with us. Abiding that the Holy Spirit stays with us. Continues to stay with us. I often think of the movie Peter Pan. When Peter Pan's flying around and the shadow's trying to stay right there. And then he tries to get the bar of soap out and do all the things to keep the shadow on him. I'm reminded the Holy Spirit always abides with us. In and with us. Even in our darkest hours, when we feel we are the most isolated and alone, the Holy Spirit is in us. And we hear that in that middle scripture verse. It's interesting that Jesus will say the Holy Spirit is coming. And so often we get all this confused. Most of us are linear thinkers. And so we think, okay, God is Old Testament, Jesus New Testament, and everything afterwards is the Holy Spirit. That's not really how it works. That's sometimes how we do it with linear, but it's three in one. God, Spirit, Jesus, all of it has been involved from the very beginning of creation. We think back to Moses and the burning bush and that presence he had, the counsel he had, the Holy Spirit was with him. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus when he was baptized. But Jesus says, I will send that advocate to you. And sometimes that can be confusing. You're like, well, thought we already had it. So how do you have both and? There's a great illustration that I read about earlier this week. It's kind of like nuclear energy. We've always had it. But it's only been recently that we knew what to do with it or how to utilize it. Likewise, the Holy Spirit has always been with creation. Holy Spirit has always been a part of humanity and been with humanity. It was only after the experience with Jesus that we fully begin to understand how the Holy Spirit empowers us. It's interesting. So we kind of backtracked. We went to just before the Easter story. And Jesus says, I'll send an advocate. I kind of want to say, really, God? Really, Jesus? Why did you wait? Why did you wait for them to go through all of the stuff of Easter? They needed a comforter. They needed a counselor to say, to hold Peter's hand and say, quit denying. The Spirit was there, but they needed that extra oomph there. But instead, they wait 40 days after the resurrection, 40 days after the ascension, we have the season of Pentecost. And that is when the Holy Spirit comes upon all the people. So I'd say that the Holy Spirit wasn't there before, but there's a shift. The Holy Spirit is not just contained within God and Jesus, but when we get into the story of Acts, the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit is now upon all the people. I want to read this quick verse real quick from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared on them, and a tongue rested on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in their own languages as the Spirit gave them availability. It's really important to understand this piece. The Holy Spirit came upon all the people, that they would then understand the good news for themselves, and so that they could go share the good news. It wasn't that just the church leaders, just the disciples heard it. It wasn't just for them, because if God was just working in the church leaders, they would have made it to where those leaders could understand all the languages. But that's not what happened. God flipped the script and made it to where everybody could hear the word of God, the grace of God, in their own language. They were then empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and share the good news. It was no longer just up to the apostles and the disciples and those chosen few people. Everyone is then empowered to go and share the good news in their own language and their own experience. Last week, y'all talked about the faith and around community tables, because we all come to God in a different story. We don't all just grow up in church and this is the next step and this is the next step. We come through to the church in a variety of ways. We hear and experience God in different ways, not just English, Spanish, Korean. Life experiences, we come to experience God in a very different way. As a youth, I came to United Methodist Church because my uncle kept telling me, you need to go to church. And I said, I really want to go because I know those people from school. They don't know me as a church person. I'm not really sure I want to do that. I continue to go and have fun at the youth stuff. And even youth choir, Anthony, you did not hear that. I still don't sing. But it was a good place to hang out and meet friends. 7 months later, we had a traumatic death in our family. We were not members. And I was just stepping into conversation. We weren't members. I often would go. I dragged my brother eventually along. Our parents didn't really go to church. But then I watched that church respond to our family and cared for us that whole experience. And they treated us like we had been some of the members for 50 plus years. And I went, holy moly, this is what a church does. Even for the youngest of people, the way they cared for us, the way they walked with us. 3 months later, my parents' divorce would be official. And they walked through that again with my brother and I. And we were like, wow. So when I say that the Holy Spirit speaks in our own language, it's not just what actual dialect you're talking about, but in our own personal stories. How God is working in with you in your school, in your work, in your family situation. God is working in that through the power of the Holy Spirit in different ways so that we can then share the good news, so that we can then share how God is alive and at work in each and every one of us. God gives us that empowerment through the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting when you go and look at 1 Corinthians, it's very clear to tell us in chapter 12, verse 3, no one declares the Lord without the Spirit. We do not get to come to know God and fully understand that we are a beloved child. We don't get to understand the full depth of what it means to love our neighbor like Jesus did, without the power of the Holy Spirit work in and through us. It's how we understand grace. I always say grace. I call it PJs. Because in seminary and ordination, you have to know these in order, right? And so I have to do word games for myself. So I always say PJs, comfort. God's grace, God's presence gives us comfort. So PJs. So prevenient. Holy Spirit has always been with us and working in and through us. That justifying Spirit is a little bit of what Jesus was talking about in that text. That Spirit is working within us to say, you know what? You're kind of moving the opposite direction of Christ. You're moving the opposite direction of where I would like you to be as a beloved child of God. And so that's that convicting Spirit, that justifying grace that gives us that aha moment of, I'm not really where God wanted me to be, and I failed to see I'm a beloved and worthy child of God. Let me reorient in my life. And then we have that sanctifying grace that once we have those aha moments, that continues to go with us, continuing to woo us and remind us that we are a beloved child of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and reflect what we've seen and experienced through the love and mercy of God. I know that there are plenty of students here today who don't, well, some of you already know this because I talked to some of you earlier, who've already begun school. Everyone can just do that moan that school has begun. But not only in school, but in your workplace and the places that you go day to day, I wonder where you're experiencing the Holy Spirit. Where do you feel empowered? Maybe there are times you get there and you just feel overwhelmed and alone and isolated. Friends, I hope you hear this morning that God has given us a gift of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit that goes with us, that comforts us when we are overwhelmed with fear, that advocates for us when we feel like we have been silenced and we have no voice, the one that offers guidance and counsel when the world is so overwhelming we don't know what the next step is. So friends, whether you have started a new school year, you're wrestling with things in work or at home or just the stuff of this world, know that we have an incredible gift. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit because God desires a relationship with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to encourage us and push us like any good coach, that we could have that relationship with God, with Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So friends, we have more friends coming to join us. They've been enjoying kids' church, but it is that time of the year where we want to do a blessing. We know some children and youth have already begun. We know some will begin this next week and in the weeks ahead. So we want to offer a blessing. All right. So I know y'all just got seated, but I'm going to ask all of our children and youth to come stand here. Can y'all come up here? I know. It's not scary. He gets up here and has a great time all the time. Anthony, will you come up? All righty. So I'm going to have you face the church. All righty. And let's see. We got some youth coming up. All righty. So, you good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All righty. So, friends, we're going to pray over our young people that are going to school, and then we're going to expand that prayer a little bit after that. So, if you can, I know this might be a little uncomfortable, but I want you to extend, if you'll stand as you're able, if you can reach out your hands in direction of these young people, y'all can put your hands over your friends, and we're going to pray over them. Almighty and gracious God, we know that you're already in this place, that you're with each and every one of these beloved children, that you've already gone before them in school and have prepared an incredible place for them to grow in their knowledge and their understanding, to grow in their creativity and their ability to offer such an incredible gift to this world. Oh God, go with them. Help them to always remember that you are with them and that they are not alone. Oh God, we just ask that you be with them each time that they come back, and that for every good day that they are reminded to look to you and say, thank you, God, this is great. And when it's a challenge, say, thank you, God, for being with me and that I am not alone. And when we get to the end of the school year and all is great and safe and well, we will give you, oh God, all the praise and glory. In your Son's holy name, amen. So I want y'all to say right here, so if we have anyone that works with schools, do we have anyone that's a teacher or a principal, paraprofessional, bus driver, all the things. I'm going to have y'all stand right here in the middle. Yep, in the middle. We're going to do this whole in the middle here. All righty. All right, we give thanks for each of you. So I'm going to ask if y'all can kind of circle around them a little bit. And if y'all can lay a hand on their shoulders or their elbows, whichever you could reach best. And we're going to pray over each of them, all right? Almighty and gracious God, we give thanks for these incredible people who have said yes. When so many people say, oh, I'm not sure about our school system or this or that, these people have said yes. And so we give thanks for them. We give thanks for their calling and the ways they continue to show up for all of our young people. Oh God, overwhelm them with a peace that passes all understanding, that you have equipped them in all the ways that they need to be equipped to do the things you have called them to do this year. Oh God, grant them stamina, grant them energy, grant them joy and all that they are about this year. And we will give you all the praise and glory. In your son's holy name, amen.